welcome to Sem Torah for Parashat Vayechi. There is a very interesting midrash in Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer that states that Yaakov Avinu was the first person to become sick before dying. Before Yaakov, people would merely sneeze and their souls would depart their body through their nostrils. However, Yaakov asked God for prior warning before his death in order to have time to instruct his children and give them his last words of wisdom. God grants Yaakov's request, and Yaakov becomes sick before his death. Now, what did Yaakov have to say to his children? Let's focus our attention on the nature of these brachot that were given to his 12 sons. If we look at each of them, there doesn't seem to be a common thread tying each of the brachot together. The first pasuk of the Perek Mem Tet Pasuk Aleph, reads, "Va'agidah lachem et asher yikra etchem ba'acharit hayamim." He says, Yaakov tells his children he wants to tell them what will happen to them at the end of days. Some Mefarshim interpret this to mean in the times of Mashiach, whereas others interpret this to mean merely the future of each tribe. However, if we look at the end of the Perek, Pasuk Kafchet, it says, "Kol ele shiftei Yisrael shneimasa." These are the 12 tribes of Israel. "Vazot asher dibar lahem avihem." This is what their father told them. "Vayevarech otam ish asher kivrechato beirech otam." He blessed them, each according to his bracha. But if we look at the content of the brachot he gives to each child, we don't see this common theme. Not all of them are told of their future, and not all of them are given a blessing. Shimon and Levi are rebuked for their previous actions. Yehuda is praised. Zvulun is told where he will get, is going to live. Yosef is also praised. But it doesn't seem to be that there is a common theme and thread running through each of these brachot. And it seems a bit strange that he would call his children together and his last words to some of his sons would be curses. And the Abarbanel picks up on this difficulty. And he says that there seems to be four possible options as to the purpose of Yaakov's final speech to his children. The first option he is offering a blessing. But then we look at the brachot he gives to Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yisachar, Gad. They don't seem to be brachot. Some of them indeed seem to be curses. The second option he gives is moral teachings and rebukes for their previous wrongs, which is, that makes sense for Reuben, Shimon, and Levi, but Yehuda. That's not a common theme in the bracha he gives to Yehuda, because he doesn't give him any rebuke. The third option that the Abarbanel offers is a prediction of future events. But again, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Naphtali, they don't seem to be predictions of future events. And the fourth option he gives is telling them of their future inheritance in Eretz Yisrael. But again, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yisachar, Dan, Naphtali, Yosef, and Yamin don't seem to fit this rubric. And this seems to be a very ambiguous parak as a whole. The first pasuk seems to suggest Yaakov will tell them their future. Each bracha seems to suggest something different. And the bracha at the very last pasuk says that Yaakov gives them blessings. But in fact, he doesn't give them all blessings. So what is going on in this parak? So the Abarbanel suggests a fifth option. And he says this fifth option indeed binds the parak together. He says that Yaakov lays a deliberate stress on the differences between the brothers. Why? Because he is searching for the individual most suitable and fitting for the future leadership of the Jewish people. The Abarbanel explains, he says, that Yaakov, Ra'av yada b'koch nevuotav, shit rabez zarom od. Yaakov saw through nevuah that his children would become numerous. Therefore, v'haya ra'oi she'emnu alehem manhig o melech shoteh o mashal. Therefore, when you have a nation, you go from a family into a nation, you need someone who is going to rule and become king. So what did Yaakov do? So that there wouldn't fall dispute amongst them over who would become king after his death, Yaakov saw at this time, before his death, this was the appropriate time to explain and clarify which of them would be the future king. So what did he do? So to this end, Yaakov performed a review and an analysis of each and every one of his sons, their personality, traits, and talents, to determine who would be most fit for the leadership, because their children would follow in the footsteps of their fathers. So he didn't call them together to bless them, nor to correct them morally, nor to rebuke them, nor to tell the future, but rather to explain and inform who was the most fitting for leadership. And who does he pick as the leader? Yehuda. Yehuda is the one chosen as a future leader and king, and from him all future kings of Israel, not the dynasty of Jewish kings, would come from the Shevet of Yehuda. This makes sense with what he says to Reuben. For example, Reuben was, Yaakov says, you were my firstborn, you should have been the one to take the mantle. However, he was unstable. Reuben tries to take initiative, but unfortunately he falls short. But if we look back throughout Sefer Bereishit, we see when the brothers take Yosef and try to kill him, they're discussing murdering their brother. Reuben wants to do the morally correct thing, and he tries to save Yosef's life. So instead of letting them kill him, he suggests that they throw him into a pit. And the Torah testifies that Reuben did this in order to save him and return him to his father. What happens? His plan fails. By the time Reuben gets back to the pit, Yosef's already been sold. His leadership only goes so far. He cannot save the situation. Later on, another example with Reuben. Yosef, at that point they didn't know he was Yosef, but the leader of Egypt told the brothers they had to bring Binyamin down to Mitzrayim. So they go back to Yaakov and tell him this. Yaakov, as it was only natural, we would expect him to refuse us after what happened to Shimon, what happened to Yosef. What's Reuben's response? He says, listen, send him with me, and if anything happens to him, you can kill my two sons. Very nice, Reuben takes the initiative, but what is he suggesting? He's suggesting that if something goes wrong, Yaakov should kill his own grandchildren. Again, Reuben is a leader in a certain way, but he seems to fall short. He's an unstable leader. And again, Yaakov, according to the Abadanel, Yaakov does this with each and every son in order to explain why they weren't chosen and Yehuda was. Now, his theory does indeed give us a common thread throughout the Perek, but on the other hand, it does seem a little troubling, because we're still left with this division between the brothers on Yaakov's deathbed. And instead of unifying them, it seems that it would cause more dispute than good. So, the Or HaChaim suggests a very different direction to that of the Abarbanel, but it gives us a more unified angle on the entire Perek. The last passage we read before says, Kol Eile Shiftei Yisrael Shneimasar, the 12 tribes of Israel. Vezot Asher Diber Lahem Avihem Vayivarech Otam, Ish Asher Kedech Oto Beirech Otam. So, Ish Kedech Oto, the Or HaChaim writes, Peirush Haro'oilo Kafi Bechinat Nishmato O Kafi Ma'asar. What was the bracha that Yaakov gave his children? It was the one that was fitting to each and every son, according to his neshama, according to his traits, according to his deeds. Ki yesh lecha ledad, ki anafashat kol achad yesh la bechinat ma'ala. He says, because each one of the neshamot of each of his children had its own unique character trait, in its own unique strength. And he carries on, he gives examples. Yesh shemala takuna, yesh malchut, yesh ketetora, yesh gubura, yesh osha, yesh hatzlacha. says that the tribe that was fitting to be Kohanim, those that were fitting to be kings, those that were fitting to be hold the Keter of Torah, those who were going to be strong, those who were going to be successful. And he carries on, and Yaakov intended within each of his brachot to give each of his sons the bracha that was fitting for him. Which is great. He looks at each individual child, looks at his character traits, looks at his deeds, and looks at each son as a unique individual and blesses him accordingly. But the Or HaChaim doesn't stop there, he continues. Because the pasuk also continues. The pasuk continues to say Berech Otam. He blessed them. The Or HaChaim explains, why Otam? Why in the plural all of a sudden? He explains, it's beautiful. Liot ki brachat kol achad v'achad to'el la'asmo l'chol achad. That the bracha of each and every one of them as an individual shouldn't just start with himself, but it should be beneficial to each and every one of his brothers. For example, k'moshe tomar b'chek b'irach l'melech y'tiyadob b'oref ozav, hine magia hatov l'chol achad. That when he blesses the king, that his hand should be at the neck of his enemies, this should bring goodness for the rest of his brothers. This should be an advantage for the rest of his brothers. So, maybe you're going to ask, what about Shimon and Levi? Yaakov just seems to curse them. So, Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch offers a beautiful, beautiful explanation. And he explains that in Shimon and Levi's characters, there was a prominent trait which would really specially have qualified them to be placed at the head of the nation. What was that trait? It was that feeling of communal brotherhood, of the achrayut, the responsibility that they had for each member of their family. That when their sister Dina was raped, they didn't just sit back. They took it into their own hands to stand up for the pride of their family. And that is something that is needed and is an integral to their whole nation. So why does Yaakov say they're going to be divided up? It's not like in a school, in a classroom, when when a teacher may separate between two students who are talking. The purpose of their division was not to stop this wonderful character trait, but rather it was to strengthen it by not keeping it just amongst them, but by spreading them out amongst Israel so that every single member of Am Yisrael could also have access to that character trait of pride and of feeling responsible for each member of your family. And that was something needed in all of Am Yisrael. Now we can take this Or HaChaim and learn something amazing for ourselves. I think there's two sides to this. One is that we should look at ourselves and find what is unique to us and bring that to fruition and let that fulfill our potential. But it shouldn't just stop there. We have to use that for the benefit of all those around us, for all of Am Yisrael. And on the other hand, the flip side of this is when we look at other people who are different to us. And very often in today's world, we concentrate on differences. And that's okay, but we have to learn from the Or HaChaim how to look at differences. Not as a weakness, but as a strength. And when we look at other people, we should look for their strengths and learn from their strengths. Look at other people's strengths and ask ourselves, what can I learn from them? Not to make them more like ourselves, but to share all our unique character traits and strengths for the benefit of everyone around us. And then we should really merit Hinei Metovu Manayim Shevet Achim Gam Yachad. How amazing and good and pleasant is it when brothers can live together? And that's the challenge. As brothers, as unique individuals, to live together as a nation. Shabbat Shalom.